Good evening. Welcome to Words, class number three. We're learning L'David Hashem Uri V'Yishi and trying to both understand the Mizmar itself, Psalm 27 that we say, especially in the month of Elul, and also its connection to the particular time, why we say it in the month of Elul. So it's interesting that if you dig deep into the Mizmar, every single word and every single pasuk is related to the month of El. It's not like because there is something, some mention, and that's why the whole Mizmar belongs in El. But there is a connection in every pasuk and every inyan to the workings and to the happenings of the month of El, and this auspicious time from El through Sukkot. So tonight we're going to study the pasuk Acha Sha'alti Me'es Hashem Oisa Avakesh, which is pasuk Dalid in L'David Hashem Uri. So David HaMelech says Acha Sha'alti. There's this one thing I'm asking Me'es Hashem. I'm asking from Hashem Oisa Avakesh. This is my request. That's my request. Shifti Beveis Hashem. I want to sit in the house of Hashem Kol Yemechayai, all the days of my life. Lachsois Benoyim Hashem, to gaze in the pleasantness of God. And to, so it's interesting. There's two mafarshim say levaker. I never noticed this. Levaker comes from the word when I'm saying. I always thought levaker is to visit, to pay a visit beicholay. But Rashi learns levaker beicholay is maloshem boiker. Levaker, to come early beicholay, every boiker, every morning levaker, to be mornings in the Beis Hamikdash. And levaker also lo yevaker ben toivera. He shouldn't investigate. It's a bikur, like you're checking something. Then I don't. Sorry. So that's the second pirush. So the first thing is this: the understanding in general. What does the pasuk mean? What is the acha sha'alti? What is David HaMelech asking for? And you see a contrast from the beginning of the mizmor to this pasuk. Till now, David HaMelech is stating facts. Hashem oiri v'ishi. Hashem is my light. Hashem is my salvation. Hashem mois chayai. And because of that, I'm not afraid of anybody. That's what he says. Me ira, whom I afraid. I'm tachne or machane. You're going to bring me a whole camp. I'm going to be confronted with these massive enemies. I don't have what to be afraid of. Tachne machle. Lo yira libe. My heart isn't afraid. Im takum alay mocham. If you're going to wage war against me, b'zois ani b'teach. This is what I have b'tachin. What do I have bitachin in? I have bitachin in an Hashem Uri V'Yishi, Hashem Mois Chayei. If Hashem is my light and Hashem is my salvation, what do I have? What to fear? So till now, David HaMelech isn't requesting anything. He isn't asking anything. He's just stating the state of confidence and menucha that he's in, that he's not afraid, that he has bitachin in Hashem, because he knows that Hashem Uri V'Yishi, Hashem is my light and my salvation. Here in this pasuk is where it's the mizmar changes, and David HaMelech is asking something. Acha sha'alti me'es Hashem, one thing I'm asking from Hashem. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yemechayai, to sit. So we need to understand what is the difference between that which he is confident in. I mean, if Hashem is with him, so then what more do you need? Nah, but there is still something that David HaMelech is asking for. Shifti beveis Hashem, it's not enough what he has in Hashem Uri V'Yishi. In addition to that, This I'm not confident in. This I don't have. This I need to ask for. Then we also have to understand, why is the lashon of this bakasha achas? Simply he's asking for one thing. Okay, but why particularly the word achas? Could have been, you know, dava or echad or, I don't know, achas, even echad, I don't know. It's achas is an interesting lashon. The achas alti me'es Hashem. So what is the significant, and what does it mean? What is this request? So the idea is as follows. As we mentioned last week, that the Oiri V'Yishi, the light and the salvation, just like in simple pshat, it's referring to that which is helping and assisting David the Melech in the time of war. When he's in battle with his enemies, he has the Oiri V'Yishi and the Mois Chayei of Hashem to help him in his battle. It also means, of course, to each and every one of us in our battles. And most of us are now not out on a military campaign, and we're fighting a war with physical enemies. So obviously the war that we're talking about over here, Im Tachne Olam Machne, is a spiritual war. primarily the war against the Yetzer Hara. We all have the Yetzer Hara, and we're battling with the Yetzer Hara, especially now in the month of Elul, and we're trying to overpower the Yetzer Hara so we can do tshuva. And as mentioned last week, the Oiri V'Yishi and the Mo'iz Chayai is Hashem's assistance in our battle with our Yetzer Hara. Oiri V'Yishi we spoke about last week is before a person sins. Koidem Achet. Before a person sins, Hashem is, remember we said last week that the two times Hashem and Hashem Oiri V'Yishi and Hashem Mo'iz Chayai, the two times it mentions Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke and Yudke Vavke twice, the first one is Kan Koidem Achet, is before the sin, and the other one is after the Chet. Where do we see that the two times Hashem's name is once before, once after? Because Chazal say that in regards to Hashem Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanan, why do we need to have the two times Rachamim? Before the Chet and after the Chet. So that's what they say. Kan Lifnei Chet, Ken Lachar Chet. So it comes out that the Oiri V'Yishi is Hashem's assistance before we sin. When we spoke last week, why do we need assistance before we sin? Because as we know, that the Satan is so strong, the Yetzer Hara is so strong and so overpowering, that Yitzra Shaladam is Gaber Ala B'chol Yom, the Yetzer Hara of a person prevails over the person every day, and is Mischadish every day, different things the Gemara says, the Yetzer Hara is constant. And the Gemara says in the Masechta Kedushin, I think, Ilu Malach Kadosh Baruch Hu Oizra, if Hashem not assisting us, we wouldn't be able to fight our Yetzer Hara. So for that, we have assistance from Hashem. And we spoke last week, the assistance is twofold. Oiri V'Yishi. Because there's two ways our Yetzer Hara gets us. One way he gets us by distorting, by causing a distortion, by causing a that we don't have clarity, and we make a mistake. We're doing things that we ought not to be doing, unknown to us. Either we don't recognize the severity of it. He makes very big things look very small and unimportant, or even if sometimes he does even more than that. He convinces us that it's a mitzvah. So he spoke. So Hashem Oiri, Hashem is my light, meaning Hashem gives me clarity that I'm able to see things clearly and I'm not going to fall for the trappings of the Yetzer Hara. That's number one. But then there's something else. Sometimes it's very clear to us that something is sinful and something might be a very big deal, but we have a chas v'shalom and we feel a very strong temptation, a very strong desire. And we don't, and we succumb to the temptation. So for there's a second Indian we spoke, and that's the Yishi. Hashem is my salvation, which means Hashem gives me strength to be able to overpower the Yetzer Hara. As I'm right now, and I'm in the state of battle, and I'm feeling a powerful desire, or a rage, or an anger, and that's or jealousy, or greed, that might be leading me, or leading a person to deal dishonestly, or the like, or a lust, or whatever it is, all kinds of Yetzer Hara. And I need Hashem's empowerment to empower the Yetzer Tov, the Tzad HaTov that's in the person. And that's the Oiri, the Yishi, the light, for me to be able to deal with my Yetzer Hara. But David HaMelech says, Hashem Mo'iz Chai, the strength is also, here's also the strength to fight the Yetzer Hara, but that's talking after the sin. After the person sinned already, now the Yetzer Hara comes to a person and starts creating that feeling of Yish, the feeling of giving up, and saying that for now you're a sinner. Now all is over. Now you're a total, total sinner. Now you're lost. Your soul is cut off from Hashem. You've done this very big Avera. There's no hope for you. You sinned. It's a week before Rosh Hashanah. And now you sin. What are you, a crazy? What are you, a nutcase? Forget about it. With everything that it says in Chassidus, that a person could come back and he can do tshuva even the last moment, but it doesn't apply to you. Because come on. And Yetzer Hara tries to do that. So you need to have Hashem Mo'iz Chai, Hashem, the strength of my life, as we spoke last week. That's the power of tshuva. That's even Achar Chet. But Al Kaponim, what do we have from here? That this entire element of Oiri V'Yishi and Mo'iz Chai is fighting with the tzad of the other side, with the klipa, with the Yetzer Hara. And as mentioned earlier, that's why he's saying in Tachnei Le'machanef, there's a camp of klipa, there's a camp of unholiness, and there's a war in Takam Alay Mulchama, a great war of the Sitra Achra, of the other side that wants to swallow me alive, and our divine assistance that I'm going to be okay. Now David HaMelech comes along and he says, that I'm confident in. That Hashem is going to assist me, and that He is assisting me and helping me, and that I'm going to prevail over my enemies, that I'm confident in. But Acha Shalti Meis Hashem, I'm asking from Hashem that I shouldn't even have to have a battle. It shouldn't even be an oifen of Muhammad, because when there is war, there is injury. When there is war, there is frustration. When there's war, there is David HaMelech wants that he should come to a state of be able to sit b'beis Hashem, we'll see in a minute, in order to be able to b'menucha. There shouldn't be this inner turmoil constantly. Even if he's winning in the battle, he doesn't want to have melchemes hayetzer. He wants to be beyond that war. Like it is going to be that, similar in a somewhat way it was in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, David HaMelech's life was a life fraught with war and battle all of his life. That's why he couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash, because Dam L'Roif Shafachto, he spilled a lot of blood. But his son David HaMelech, son Shlomo HaMelech, Hashem said, he Ish Menucha, he's going to be a man of peace. And we know Shlomo HaMelech, by him, the Tzad HaKadusha, the side of holiness, Shlomo HaMelech's empire and Shlomo HaMelech's kingdom and his name was so powerful and so strong. He was so popular in the world that his enemies wouldn't even dare, even though there weren't enemies. They were potential, like after Shlomo HaMelech, there was a Churban Beis HaMikdash, and the Sitra Achra got on its feet again and brought about such destruction in the Olam of Kedusha to the Jewish people, to the Yerushalayim, to Eretz Yisrael, to the Beis HaMikdash, and such sin and the like. But temporarily, they were neutralized, at least in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. So David HaMelech is asking already for that request. Acha sha'alti mi'eitz Hashem, bi'ikar it's going to be b'yemos HaMashiach, when there's not going to be any war anymore. V'gor zevim keves, that the lions, and the Rambam says it's all a mashal, that the wolf and the lamb will lie together, meaning that the other side, will be neshapach, will be transformed into an ally of Kedusha, and at least won't be an enemy of holiness. He won't need a fight. And so that's his bakasha. That he's not b'teyachin. The L'David Hashem Oiri V'yishi is what's giving him the power to fight the battle. But the Acha Sha'alti, that which I'm asking, so to us it means, you know, I know Hashem, you stand by me, and you give me the koiches, and you give me the ability to be able to constantly to fight and fight and fight. But I'm asking you, Eibishter, I should have menucha. I don't want to have the fight. I want to have at least moments of life. I want to have days, weeks, months where I don't have to deal with this. Can't it just be a time when I can just have a little tranquility and a little closeness to you without the interruptions of the constant of the Yetzer Hara? That's our request, expressed, or David HaMelech expresses it for Knesset Yisrael. Now that state, we said before, belongs really to Yemos HaMashiach, or to some Yidden who have arrived to Yemos HaMashiach even before Mashiach comes. There are people that are in that state, and that is tzaddikim. True tzaddikim. Tzaddikim that he speaks about in Tanya. When he says a tzaddik is someone who has so subdued his Yetzirah to the point that he has completely vanquished the Yetzirah. It doesn't exist in him anymore. Like David HaMelech, later in his life, he killed his Yetzirah, Harge Betainus, it was out. V'libi chalol bikirbi, he has no Yetzirah anymore. Tzaddikim are those that have completely destroyed and eradicated the Yetzirah. There isn't any temptation. And as he explains, it really converted it to Kedushim. So tzaddikim, so they're living already, sort of like olam cha tira bechayecha. You have already your olam haba. You have bikesh Yaakov leishav b'shalva. Yaakov wanted to sit in peace, and Hashem said no shalva. That belongs to the future. There are people who have that state of menucha because they've already arrived to the level of tzaddik. They're beyond the battle. But for most of us, for ordinary people, this is the condition of life. The condition of life is that it will always be a battle. In Tanya, he refers to this person, the average person, he refers to him as the Beinoni. And he says that most Jews cannot be a tzaddik. Most Jews can only, the best we can hope for, is to be successful as a Beinoni. And Beinoni is to be able to beat the Yetzer Hara all the time. Never succumb. But there will be a ferocious war. But you will always win the Yetzer Hara. So that, now, these two levels are sometimes referred to as Yisrael and Yaakov. The Jewish people have two names. There's Yisrael and there's Yaakov. Yisrael is Al Shem Kisarisa im Elokim v'manashim v'tuchal. You have ministered over Elokim. Elokim means nature. So nature refers to the Yetzer Hara and all the elements of nature, of the body and the like, that draws us to sin. That's our nature. Sarisa Elokim means you've already broken through the darkness, broken through the clouds, gone beyond it to a place of pure clarity. You're living in revealed elokus, in pure elokus. Your only reality is the Eibishter. So there's nothing else. There's no other temptation. There's nothing else to take. That means you've ascended beyond elokim, beyond all concealments. Yaakov Avinu, after he had his battle all night long with Esav, after he's finished dealing with Lavan, and after, so now he was given the name Yisrael, which means he attained the level of Menucha. To understand that Yaakov asked Bikish Yaakov Leisha B'Shalva. I guess that's when he asked Leisha B'Shalva, because he was called Yisrael already. And then there is Yaakov. Yaakov is the Jew who is still within the battle. Who is still within, in other words, there isn't, he's not living beyond the helim and the concealment of Elikus. Beyond, you know, where worldliness isn't blocking anymore. Yaakov is still living in a state that there's a possibility for something other than Hashem. And therefore there's temptation and there's desires and wants and you have to overcome it. And that's Yaakov. And that's the chiddush of David HaMelech's request. David HaMelech is not saying, I want to be a tzaddik. He's not saying, make me a tzaddik. That wasn't his request over here. His request is for all the Yaakov Yidden. All the Jews who are in a constant state and perpetual state of battle. David HaMelech says, Acha sha'alti, there's one thing I'm asking me, Yais Hashem, to be able to have menucha. To have menucha, even though this is not shayich, be'etzem to our madrega. To the level of Yaakov, it's not really your madrega, it's not your level. Your level is what? You're Yaakov, and Yaakov is still a fighter. But he's saying, I want at least some relief. Some relief. But, I mean, if we're still Yaakov Yidden, then by definition, we're still within the battle. So what kind of request is it? So that's why David HaMelech says, Shifti beveis Hashem kol yamei chayim. That to accomplish this, that even someone who in terms of level of neshama has not yet attained the level of Yisrael and has not yet been elevated to such a high level of neshama on his, from within himself because of his own avod and his own work, but is still in a state of consciousness of concealment and of darkness where there still has to be a battle, where the good and evil are still mixed within him. He hasn't yet ascended from the Eitz Hadas into the Eitz HaChayim, the tree of life where there's only goodness. He's still living in the Eitz Hadas Tovara. Even, so if this is the case, how can we expect to live in a pace of, in a state of shalom, in a state of peace, in a state of olam of the future? And the answer is, Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yemei Chayim. David HaMelech says that power will be given to me through Limud HaTorah. Torah has the ability to neutralize the other side and to bring about a birur, a refinement within the human being, bederech shalom, in a manner of peace. As it says, lo nitna Torah elalasis shalom ba'olam. Torah was given to make peace in the world. It says, verav shalom banayich, al tikra banayich elo boinayich. The Talmid HaChachamim are called boinayich, those who build the world. The building the world, and what do they accomplish? They have rav shalom, an abundance of peace. So Torah has the ability to, and that's what it says in Chassidus in many places. It discusses the difference between the fighting with the other side, with the nefesh Bahamas, in with a head-on battle. Or fighting with the Nefesh of Bahamas in the manner where you increase your light of your neshama so much, where there's so much kedusha and there's so much light in your neshama, that the Nefesh of Bahamas, similar to what we spoke about last night, that the Satan gets weak, the Yetzirah gets weak, he doesn't stand a chance. Like in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. It's not like there weren't any enemies. There were Jew haters in the days of Shlomo HaMelech as well. But they knew that they don't stand a chance. They wouldn't dare because of the might, because there was such a display, like right after the Six-Day War, there was a period of time, at least for a couple of years, where no one would think to start up with why? Because there was such miracles and such power, such a spectacular victory that no one would think of doing that. So the fighting with the Yetzihara that is accomplished through prayer, through davening, is considered a Shas Sloisa Shas Krava. The time of davening is a time of war. There's an argument back and forth. You're trying to contemplate on the truths of godliness and the truths of Hashem. And there's a counter argument, and you're fighting to increase your Nefesh Elikis over your Nefesh Bahamas. So it's a war, it's a battle. Torah study brings such illumination from above. Torah is Hashem's Torah. And when a Yid learns Torah, so he draws down such divinity into his neshama that his soul is glowing with such light that the Satan is weakened. As it says that Torah is called Oiz V'Toshia. Oiz V'Toshia. Oiz means it's strength. It strengthens the Nefesh Elokis, the godly soul within us. V'Toshia, and it weakens the Nefesh Bahamas. It causes internal weakening of the other side. So that's what David HaMelech is saying. Acha sha'alti me'eis Hashem. When I'm asking me'eis Hashem, his request is that we should have relief. And how is that going to be accomplished? By shifti b'veis Hashem kol yamechaye. If he sits in the house of Hashem, and the house of Hashem doesn't mean just sitting in the base medrash, as we spoke last week. Shifti b'veis Hashem means that I want to sit in the words of Torah. Because the words of Torah themselves are called the home. The words of Torah are called the home for Hashem. Why are the words of Torah called the home for Hashem? Because the words are kelim. Letters are vessels. And they are vessels that facilitate godliness. They hold Hashem's light. As it says, just like the Beis HaMikdash was Hashem's house, Beis Hashem was the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash, because Hashem dwelled in the Beis HaMikdash. What does it say? Mishachara Beis HaMikdash. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Ein la HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamai. Hashem doesn't have another place to rest in this world. Ela dalad ama shel halacha. That means that the Torah is the containers. These are literally the house of Hashem that Hashem lives in. So David HaMelech says, by sitting, by shifti b'veis Hashem kol yamei chayai, even a beinani, even a person who is not a tzaddik, who has not yet reached the plane that he has minimized or destroyed his Yetzirah completely, there is still a battle. Yet, nevertheless, I'm going to be able to have menucha of the Yetzirah as a result of the Torah study. Now, obviously, this power of the Torah to neutralize the animal soul in man and to strengthen the godliness in man to a point that there shouldn't even be war. There shouldn't even be war inside a person. It should be beyond the Mulchama. Obviously, we understand that's not because of the Beis Hashem. It's not because of the letters themselves or because of the subject of Torah that you're studying, but it's because of the divinity that's in the Torah, the godly light that is in the Torah. It needs the alukus that's in the Torah. Because when you're learning Torah, there's two things. There is the subject you're learning, the information that your mind is processing, and then there is the holiness of the words, which is the dwelling of Hashem, that which we don't comprehend, that which we don't understand, that's contained in the words. That Kedusha, when it descends into the... Oh, by the way, this inyan of Shalom, I just forgot to mention, I was looking for that pasuk before. Pada b'shalom nafshi. David HaMelech says, you redeemed in peace my soul. And it says that David HaMelech was referring to Limud HaTorah. Through Limud HaTorah, we have a pediah, we have a redemption from our Yetzer Hara, but it's done bishalom, it's done with peace. But what is the ability to do that? Again, it's not the Torah itself, but it's what's bepnimius of the Torah. It's the godliness that's in the Torah. That is the reason why David HaMelech says, Achas sha'alti me'eis Hashem. One thing I am asking, and he uses the term achas. Because in order that the Torah should not be hollow and just empty containers, in order that there should be a divine light in a person's Torah, there needs to be an introduction before that. There needs to be an introduction of prayer. Davening animates our Torah. If the Chazal say, "Ho'aymer ein li el Torah," if someone says, "I don't need to daven, I don't need to do that, I study Torah all day. That's all. That my thing is Torah. That's all I have." Afilu Torah ein li. Even Torah he doesn't have. Even that you don't have. Why? Because he only has the shell of Torah, and he doesn't have the God. Say Gemara, "Ho'aymer ein li Torah, afilu Torah ein li." Even Torah he doesn't have. He needs. Why? Because in order that there should be kedusha in Torah, the yid has to draw down kedusha into the Torah. The Torah is the conduit through godly night coming into the world. But the conduit, you have to first turn on the faucet so that the flow of water should flow through the conduit, through the pipes. How is that accomplished? So it's accomplished through Mesiras Nefesh, the burning desire of the neshama. The neshama that desires to be unified with Hashem, with to the point of total Mesiras Nefesh. That which we do when we say Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Achad is the neshama recognizing the supreme unity of Hashem, to the exclusion of any, that there's no other existence but God, and the neshama is so strong, wants to break free from the constriction of separateness, which we feel we're living in separate consciousness all the time, and the neshama wants to be subsumed in Hashem's light. First, it's recognition, Hashem, Hashem Echad, and then V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'oidcha, means my soul is bursting, even more than I can handle it. So when the Yid has Mesiras Nefesh and he yearns for the Ein Sof, he yearns for the infinite light, for Hashem's truth to be revealed to him, then the pasuk continues, V'hoyu advarim e'elah asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, that when alav avecha v'shinam tom levanecha v'dibar tobam b'shiftecha b'veisecha, as a result of the Avos Hashem that we create in davening, we pull the light, and where do we access the light? V'hoyu advarim e'elah asher anochi v'dibar tobam. When you're speaking Torah, we once spoke, learned this, that vidibarta doesn't only mean to speak. Vidibarta comes from the word leading. Daber echad ledor, one leader for a generation. We're going to say it next week seven times before Tkiya Shofar. Yadber amim tachtenu. Hashem should lead nations beneath us. Vidibarta bam, you should lead him. Vidibarta, you should lead the Eibishter bam into the words. And then when you're learning the Torah, those words are being channeled into your nefesh to strengthen your neshama and to weaken the animal soul that you shouldn't even have to fight. Limudat Torah injects, that's very important, by the way, just important to remember with learning a lot of mystical ideas, but there's a practical element to this. A yid says to Hashem in the morning, please Hashem, al tevi einu l'dei nisayon, I don't want to have to fight. I don't want these intense, raging yetzaharis in me. Please Hashem, I'm going to study Torah now. And let the Torah that I'm studying now create such a kedusha within me that the other side, the klipa and the sitra achra, should leave me alone. They should go find another target and leave me alone. Not come on me. Why? Because of my chas v'shalom, not a yid. But you need to have, in order for the Torah to be potent, in order for the Torah to be godly, there has to be Mesiras Nefesh before, Tefillah before Torah, and then the Torah is alive. That's why David HaMelech says, Achas hi yonasi. I'm sorry, Achas sha'alti mi'eis Hashem. Because in Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, David's son, what does he say? It's a pasuk like this. Shishim heima malchus, there are 60 queens, Ushmoinim Palakshim and 80 concubines, Valomois Ein Mispar and countless maidens, Achas Yanasi, my dove, you are one, Yanasi Tamasi, sound like I got the lotion right now, but Achas Yanasi, my dove, you are singular, you're unique. Whatever the Pirush is, Apipshat, of who are these, who are the queens, who are the concubines, who are the maidens, and Achas, you are one, Knesset Yisrael, you're special. But it says in Lakuti Torah, very, very beautiful idea, Shishim Heima Malchus, the first pasuk is referring to the Torah's marriage to God. Hashem is the Chasen, Hashem is the Mashpia, the Torah is the recipient of Hashem's light, and the Torah channels divinity down into the world. Now, the recipients are as follows. The Torah is made out of 60 queens. What is a queen? A queen is the main wife of the king. She's the main wife. So, Hashem has 60 queens. These are the 60 mesechtes. Shas is made up of 60 mesechtes. The 60 mesechtes of Shas, they are the queens. They are the Shishim Heino Malchus. They are the... Because in Mishnah, the Oyer Ein Sof, Hashem is fully manifest and fully dwells all the time. Like the queen is openly married to the king constantly. Then the Rishmain and Palakshim, the 80 concubines. The concubines means they have a relationship with the king, but it's not. It's only the Prakim, it's only from time to time. meaning their relationship with the king is not as visible and as constant and as... So it says that Shmoinim Emma Palakshim, that's the Brisas. The difference between Mishnah and Brisa is that in Mishnah, it was more clear that this is the Dvar Hashem, this is the word of Hashem. Brisa is not always halach. Brisa is more on the outside. So it's less connected. Alamois ein mispar, who are the girls? The girls, it says in Chassidus, is every single individual halacha. You have the 60 mesechtes of Shas. But then there is the offshoots and the offshoots and the offshoots as it translates into Shulchan Aruch and into all the details of Shulchan Aruch and to every Magen Avraham and every Taz and every Shach and every Bach and every Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Sif as it translates into Shailos HaTshuvos, into every little detail till we get down to the halachas farim that are written today by when new halachas and new Shailos come up. And there's the Dvar Hashem as it comes into that. These are the maidens. Elam is a mispar and it's endless. So that is the Torah. The Torah consists of the 60 main mesechtes. Then you got the brises. Why the brises are 80, I don't know now. And then Elam is a mispar is the halachas. These are the vessels. This is the base Hashem, like we spoke before. Base also means wife. As Chazal say, base ozu ishtay. Because the wife is like a makabel, she's a recipient of her husband's life. So this is Bebeis Hashem. But what does the Pasuk continue? And the Pasuk says, Achasi Yanasi, my dove, you are one. What does that mean? It means like this. Hashem is saying, this entire light that is flowing in Gemara, and flowing in the Talmud, and flowing in the Mishnah, and flowing in the Braisa, needs somebody to trigger it. Hashem is saying, I'm not investing myself into the Talmud just because I like to. Because in thinking about, I'm doing it because of you, Knesset Yisrael. Because achas hiyaynasi, because you have mesiras nefesh, because you love me so much. Achas is referring to, according as he explains on the Likutei Torah, the mesiras nefesh of the neshama in davening. Achas is referring to the deepest mesiras nefesh, because achas is the feminine of echad. There's echad, and there's achas. So Echad is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's God is one. The Pnimiyas HaNeshama, the deepest part of the Jewish soul, the inner point of the Yiddish, of the Jewish Neshama, that is receiving the Echad, that perceives the Echad, understands the Echad, and is in a recipient of the divine light of Echad, is called Achas. It's the part of us that we say Shema Yisrael, as we spoke in the other shir. Yisrael, the Yisrael you, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is our power. Hashem is fully luminous. The infinite light is fully luminous in our neshama, to the point that our neshama doesn't have any sense of beingness, any metzias. It's melted into the achas of Hashem, into Hashem Echad. That's the Mesiras Nefesh. The achas hiyaynasi, my dove, when you pray and when you daven, and when you reach Kloisa Nefesh and Mesiras Nefesh by Kriya Shema, that's when you create the Shishim Hei Mamalchus, the downpouring of Hashem's light into the channels of Torah of Shishim Hei Mamalchus, Hashmayna Palaksh. And they ate it. Meaning the creation of Torah is through the Mesiras Nefesh of the achas of the neshama in davening. That's why David HaMelech says that. Again, what is his request over here? His request is that he should be able to neutralize his Yetzer Hara and the other side without having to fight a war. We said before that there are people who can accomplish that because they're tzaddikim. But there's ordinary folks, there's ordinary people who can't do that. But through the power of the Torah, we could do that. Shifti b'veis Hashem, I could. But the Torah has to be Torah. So David HaMelech says, achas, through the achas of my neshama, through the avoda of mesiras nefesh of b'chol ma'oitcha of the deepest mesiras nefesh by in Kriya Shema, through that I'm able to ask this request from Hashem, the shifti beveis Hashem, and it shall have its effect. And he continues, lachsois benoyam Hashem, to gaze in the pleasantness of God. What does that mean? That means that when he is studying the Torah, he shouldn't only see, we said before, you cause the divinity to flow, but you want to see the divinity of the Torah as well. Meaning it's one thing that it's there and it's empowering in Hashem, but David HaMelech says, lachzois, I want to see it. Noyam Hashem is the hisgalus of the oneg and the pleasure that's in Torah. And that's the pleasure of Pnimiyas HaTorah, the inner light of the Torah that is nizgalat to tzaddikim. That inyan is what David HaMelech is saying, lachzois, I want to see, benoyam Hashem. in the Noam of Hashem and the pleasantness of Hashem. Now, we need to understand the connection of all of this to the month of El, to the time that we're saying now. And now, take a look at something really, really, really amazing. When we're saying achas, and we're saying achas is what? The achas yenasi. Achas is the pintaliyah, the point, the innermost of the neshama. Nizgala by through mesiras nefesh in echad, b'chol ma'oitcha, which causes the entire hamshacha down of Hashem into the Torah and into the world. This achas plays a role. Where do we find this achas coming into being? When do we emphasize achas? So Yom Kippur is called Achas Bashana, once in the year. The Pasuk says you should do your avoda, whatever, and the V'chipar al HaKodesh, Achas Bashana, once in the year. And we're going to open up our machzer in 2 weeks from now, Yom Kippur. We're going to meet this Achas again and again and again. Anybody have any clue where we meet the Achas? The Kohen Gadol stands in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Kohen Gadol keeps on saying, Achas, Achas. It says like this, that he comes in, when the high priest would come in and do the avoda in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would come in with first with the blood of the ox. It was a special ox that belonged to him, and he shechted the ox, he slaughtered the ox, he caught the blood. He would walk into the Holy of Holies after he put the incense, after he put the spices, and it was smoking. He went back out, got the blood, and would walk inside, and he had to sprinkle between the two poles of the Aron. And he sprinkled achas lamaila, one upward, v'sheva lamata, and seven downward. And when he did that, he counted. So that it mentions first achas, achas lamaila, but then he counted. How did he count? V'kach ha'yamoinen, this is how he counted. Achas once, when he sprinkled upward, and then achas v'yachas, one up and one down. Achas v'shtayim, one up and one down, and two down. Means he keeps on repeating again the achas. I did already one up, and now I'm doing two down. I did already one up, and now I'm doing three down. I did already a one up, and now I'm doing four down. I did the one up, and I'm doing five. Achas v'achas achas. And he does this four times, this whole series, because he does it with the blood of the ox. Then he goes back out, and he gets the blood of the goat. And he does it also in the inner sanctuary, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in front of the Oren. Achas l'mayla, sheva l'mata. Then he comes out into the outer sanctuary, into the Hechal, and he does it in front of the Peroches. One up, and then seven down. And again he counts. Achas, achas v'yachas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholosh. Tamar, this is a very strange thing. The Gemara, I used to teach this Masechta for the kids in school. So why does he have to, first of all, why does he have to count Bechla? The counting is so important that if he doesn't count, he's not Yoytzah. Even if he does, the Gemara says so, even if he doesn't get mixed up, if he doesn't count, the entire Hazah is invalidated. He must count. So Rabbeinu Bachaya derives from here that there is big soides amukis in this counting, in the achas, achas, v'achas. But the Gemara says, why can't he just count eight? One, two, three, four, five, six. So we learn out that there's an inyan of we learn out from the Pasuk that there have to be two separate countings. The one up and the one and seven down are two separate things. You can't count them together. But then to then count one, 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 and then one, two. The Gemara says he's afraid he's going to forget this. He's going to go, he's used to counting one, two. He's going to forget to repeat the one again down, and he's going to end up only sprinkling six down. It's a whole complicated cheshbon on why you can't do this and why you can't do that. No, finally you have to do achas, achas, v'yachas. And we're going to learn today over here, suddenly v'etlichtik, the whole thing makes such unbelievable, this is so illuminated, why the Kohen Gadol does this, and what this is connected to what we're talking about over here, to the Achas Sha'alti. The idea is like this. Just like there is an Achas over here, inside our neshama, the Achas is, as we said before, the part of our neshama that's makabel and recipient of Hashem's echad, of Hashem's singularity and oneness, meaning the part of our neshama that's not living in the pluralistic, fragmented world, a fragmented consciousness, but the part of our neshama that is completely tuned in to the emes, that ein oid movade, there's none but Hashem, and that's the achas. So that the reason why we have that dimension in our neshama is because in our soul source, our neshama is related to a place called Achas. And that is as follows. We know that our neshama comes from the Eser Sefiros, from the 10 attributes. But in the Eser Sefiros, there's two dimensions. There's 10 Sefiros, but there's two levels of Shechina in the Eser Sefiros. There is the lower level of Shechina in the Eser Sefiros, called Malchus. That's the last attribute. And then there is a higher Shechina, Bina. Bina is called Shechinti Ilah, the higher Shechina. And Malchus is called the lower Shechina. Our neshama comes from Malchus. All of our neshamas come from Malchus, the Shechina. But the Pnimius of our neshama comes from Bina. And that is why, what do we mean by that? Why is that? Because remember we spoke on Shabbos and we learned about this, there's two parts to neshama. There's a part of the neshama that descends into the body and becomes very much splintered it becomes very acclimated to the human condition of the human being. Is a part of the neshama that remains in a pristine, transcendental state, unified with Hashem, betachlis ha-unity, betachlis of oneness. That's the transcendental part of the neshama. And that's the difference between the lower shechina and the higher shechina. The lower shechina is malchus. Malchus relates to the creation. Bina is above. Bina is still connected to chachma, and Chachma is connected to Keser, to the Ein Sof. So the part of our neshama, the more chitzoniistic part of the neshama, the part of the neshama that goes through the process of Ata Yetzarta, Ata Barasa, Ata Yetzarta, Ata Nefachtabi, that comes from Malchus. The pnimius of our neshama that is unified with Hashem all the time comes from Bina. So if we're saying that our pnimius and neshama is called Achas, Bina is also called Achas. Because Bina is the recipient of Bina, the three spheres, Bina, Chachma, and Keser, are attached to each other. Kachab, it's called. Keser, Chachma, Bina. And we know there is the Yizgalos of Atik Yomen, of the infinite one, is Dafkin Bina. So Bina is called Achas, the supreme Achas. And the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was to draw down from Bina. First we're going to make a Kabbalistic formula, and then we're going to explain this a little better to make sense of what we're saying. But first let's work through the formula. The avod of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was that his avod was that he would draw from Bina, and from Bina he would have to draw down into the seven emotions, into the seven spheres below. And that's the concept of Achas v'Achas. His first achas above, we're going to see in a moment. Let's leave that alone. I'm talking about the last seven when he's counting. He throws one up and he goes achas. Then he goes down and he goes achas v'achas. What's the kavana in that achas v'achas? The kavana in that achas v'achas is to be mamshich, to draw down the oyer of Hashem, the light of divinity, the light of godliness, through the attributes. Where is he drawing it? Bina's got the light a minute. The Bina's got the light, and we'll see soon how Bina's got the light. Bina, the light is in Bina. But his avoda is that he wants to draw the light of Bina into the six, seven emotions. Seven emotions. So first he draws it into Chesed. And that's the idea of Achas v'Achas. He's connecting it from Chachma, from Bina into Chesed. Achas ushtayim is he's drawing the light of Bina into the second sphere, second emotional sphere, into Chesed and into Gevura. Now he has two of them connected. Achas v'Shalosh, he's drawing the light from the level of Achas, which is Bina, and from there he's drawing it into Teferes. Achas v'Achas v'Arba is into Netzach, Achas v'Shevas into Malchus. So really what the Kohen Gadol is doing now is he's drawing divine light into the attributes, and what he wants to be makasher, he wants to cause an iskashrus, a unification of Bina to the lower attributes. What is the idea of connecting Bina to the lower attributes? Bina is still a level where the Ur Ein Sof is experienced crystal clear. Chachma, we know for sure, is experiencing the light of Keser. Chachma is koach ma, the power of Wat. Chachma is completely nullified in the infinite light. Bina is makabel from Chachma, so Bina has an understanding how Einoid Movadai, how there's none but him. But once already the six emotional attributes are born, that's already the beginning, the seeds of Pirud, the seeds of creation. That's why Kisheshes Yom Emosas Hashem Es Hashemayim Es Haaretz, that the 6 days of creation, the element of creation begins with the 6 days. And from the 6 days, you have already the six tzavos, six directions, which means you're already beginning to have the various extremities of Elokus, instead of everything just being in a state of achdus and a state of eskalalos, in a state of unity. So if we want to cause a tikkun, and we want to unify the creation with God, and we want to unify the creation at the very, very, very beginnings, at the very subtleties, at the very beginning of Pirud, you want to connect Bina to the seven lower attributes. This is the idea of me, bara, it says, what's the lashon over there? It says, raise up your eyes. You'll raise up your eyes, Uru'u, and you will see Mi Bara Ela, who created these? Mi Bara Ela, who created these? So it says that the meaning of Mi Bara Ela, who created these, is like this. Mi is Bina. Because Mi is 50, Mem Yud, and there are 50 gates to Bina. Whenever you have the number 50, you always know it's associated with Bina. So Mi is Bina. Ele is, first of all, means these. Who created these? Simply it's referring to the creation. After you look at this magnificent creation, look up and think, Mi Bara, who created it? But then according to Kabbalah and according to Hasidus, Mi is referring to Bina. Ele is referring to the six children, the six sons. Why six sons? Because Ele is Gematria 36. Lamed Hey Aleph, 36. Ela. The six emotions, each one has six inside of them. Now that we're counting only six, if we're counting the sphere in the term, so six times six is 36. So Mi is Bina, Bara Ela, but Mi is remains outside of the Ela. Mi creates the Ela. The Mi is disconnected above the Ela. There's no me consciousness in the Ela. The Ela is already moves outward into a disconnected state. Our avoda is to cause a, and that's the idea that the Hashem's name is not complete. Ein Hashem Shalom, because Yud Kei is Chachma Bina, the Vav Kei is the six emotions and Malchus, and Ein Hashem Shalom means that the Yud Kei and the Vav Kei are not deeply locked together. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be Hashem Shalom. His name is going to be complete, which means that the light of Bina is fully going to manifest in the six emotions, and there's going to be a total unity. This is the idea of the Heshev Lev Avos Al Banim, that the heart of the parents is going to be connected Al Banim to the children. So just like there's going to be tshuva in the world, that people are going to do tshuva, that the children and parents are going to come back to Hashem, the Heshev, on the deepest level, it means that Chachma and Bina, which are the parents, the Heshev Lev Avos Al Banim to the children, and there's going to be a total yichud of Yudke and Vavke, and the worlds are going to be united with their source. So that's the concept of Ni and Ela. Why is it so important to get the light of Bina? Because we said earlier, Bina is connected to Chachma, which is connected to Keser, connected to the Ein Sof. And the whole point of creation is to be miyached the Ein Sof himself into the details of the creation. To channel it down through from Keser down into Chachma, from Chachma into Bina, that's one accomplishment. And then from Bina down into the six emotional attributes, and finally, of course, into Malchus, which is into the creation, V'yamalei kvod Hashem es kol ha'aretz, and the glory of Hashem should fill the whole world. That avoda was the avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. What he was doing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim was, he was drawing achas lamaila, that is Bina, and he was drawing from Bina into the six emotional attributes, achas, that's why he kept on saying achas viachas, because he had to repeat the achas, but now we get it, because he needs to go back to the achas, to the Bina, and from there draw into chesed, from the Bina draw into gevura, from the Bina draw into each one of them individually, to unify all them with Bina, which means in essence that they're all unified with Hashem. that the creation is fully in sync and fully receptive of the divine light. But before the Kohen Gadol can draw down the light in. First of all, let's understand, why does he have to draw them down? I mean, after all, they're attributes. Aren't the attributes always flowing with godly light? No. For the attributes to flow with godly light, there has to be perfect performance of Torah and mitzvahs. If when we're perfect, when Knesset Yisrael is perfect with Torah and mitzvahs, then all the pipelines are working. But if chas v'shalom what, there is a pagam, and as happens throughout the year, since we're in a battle of Kedusha with Klipa, the Klipa gets to us many times. So what happens? It causes pagamim. It causes pagamim means it causes blemishes in the soul, which inevitably causes a blemish and a punctuation in the spheres above, which means that the light is going to flow, the energy is going to flow into the wrong places, so Hashem closes the faucet. There is no flow in two things. In a lack of mitzvah saseh observance, for sure there is no flow. And in a mitzvah loy saseh, because a loy saseh means that you're causing the klipa to be able to access that attribute and steal the light, so then the energy stops flowing because Hashem doesn't want to empower the klipa. So now there is chas v'shalom, a dry v'nahar yechrash v'yavash. The river is dried up. There's no flow, and that's why it causes a lack of life and a lack of health. It trickles down into this world into a lack of hashpa, of divine hashpa. Yom Kippur is what? Yom Kippur is the time that we're able to replenish and revitalize and repair and bring healing to the entire system. Just like we can heal our own neshama, we can heal our neshama's source, which means we can heal the entire attributic realm to fix them and repair them that they should be, and then draw down the light into the attributes. That inyan is accomplished, obviously, when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that whole avodah was to reconnect Knesset Yisrael, reconnect to that's the idea of the Chiper ala Kodesh, to bring Kapara ala Kodesh. Kodesh are the attributes. You need to bring Kapara and a cleansing in the attributes above. Mitumais B'nai Yisrael, because of the Tumah down here of B'nai Yisrael, causes a blemish al HaKodesh in the Kodesh and the attributes above. So there needs to be a V'chiper. So the Kohen Gadol goes in. Oh, but where does the Kohen Gadol have to go? In order to the Kohen Gadol to be able to fix it, he has to go to the Shoresh Kol HaShroshim. He has to go to the very, very source, to the pre-attributic light, to the infinite, infinite light of the Ein Sof himself, and from there draw down Elokus. From there to draw down a fresh Hamshacha. And this is the idea that it says in Chassidus, that it says in the Torah, it says, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. That the Tahara has to come from a place, Lifnei Hashem. Because the Yud Kei Vav Kei has become blemished. As the Pasuk says, V'noi Kev Shem Hashem, the one who makes a hole. Noi Kev means literally talking about someone who commits the sin of blasphemy. V'noi Kev, he pronounces Hashem's name, and he says, Chas V'Shalom, right? But there's a deeper meaning. V'noi Kev, he causes a hole in punctuation in Shem Hashem, which is really done through all Averis. So the only way to repair it is to get to a place higher than the Shem Hashem. And that's the idea of Lifnei Hashem, before and transcending and deeper and higher than the Shem Havaya. And from there, from higher than the Tetragrammaton, from Hashem's name. And from there, draw down new light. That's the void of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. But then there's a system how to draw it down into level after level after level after level. But the first thing is to reach the very, very Ein Sof himself. To reach the very Ein Sof himself means to draw the Oir Ein Sof into Keser Chachma Bina. Keser, it's always there. Keser is. But into Chachma and to Bina. In order to draw light down into Chachma and Bina, it's not accomplished through Torah mitzvahs. Torah mitzvahs cannot accomplish the drawing of new light into Chachma and Bina. Torah mitzvahs, what it accomplishes is, once there's life in the attributes, Torah mitzvahs is able to cause yichudim between the attributes. The passing of that light from attribute to attribute and the drawing it down. Basically pushing the buttons of the system that is set up already. Turning the dials. But in order to get beyond the system, Torah mitzvahs can't do that. The Arizal says an interesting thing. The Arizal says that all the hamshachas that are accomplished through Torah mitzvahs are only in the vavke. But to cause a yichud of yudke, a yichud, a unification of the yud and the ke, yichud of yudke means that you draw from a place higher than the yud, new light into Chachma that it passes it into Bina. That does not come, the Arizal says, through Torah and Mitzvahs. It only comes through Mesiras Nefesh. It's through the soul's utter Mesiras, he says Mesiras Nefesh by Kriya Shema, through total Mesiras Nefesh of yearning, of desiring to break out of the entire system, of the soul wanting to lose itself into the infinite light of Hashem, that's when it touches the Ein Sof, and from there it can draw the Eibishter in, like we spoke before, Achas Uyaynasi, the Avod of Achas, draws Hashem down into the Torah, as we spoke earlier. So this Mesiras Nefesh. That Avod of the Kohen Gadol accomplished when he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he had the collective Mesiras Nefesh of the Jewish people, as he was going in, totally into a state of nullification, of non-existence. Knesset Klal Yisrael bow down in the bunch of times where they lost themselves completely. And this is the greatest, this is the Kriya Shema of all Kriya Shemas. The moment the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's when the Kohen Gadol was able to draw down the light into Chachma and Bina, and that's the Achas Lamala. That's the first spritz. The first sprinkle of the blood. Blood is our life. Blood is us. Blood is our yearning. The highest of the Knesset Yisrael, as we are throwing it upward, which means we're throwing our yearning, our passion, our longing for one thing. We want only you. That's the Achas Lamala. When we accomplish that, we draw the light into from Keser, into Chachma, and into Bina. Now, the next job is to bring that light down into the world as it is already more fragmented, as it is more detailed, as it is more divided, as the world is more specified. So you have to draw from that Achas above down through all the attributes, finally into Malchus and then into the world. And that's how the Kohen Gadol did Achas, Achas v'Achas. This is the deepest thing here of the Tzemach Tzedek. This is all the pirush from the Tzemach Tzedek that I'm reading for you from Tehillim as he's explaining this Achas Sha'alti, but watch this. He says, that's why it says, V'kach ho'yamoyne, and so he counted. What's the Lashon V'kach? V'kach ho'yamoyne. Before we even begin the Achas, we say, V'kach ho'yamoyne, and this is how he counted. So the Tzemach Tzedek says like this, counting is only shayach in the spheres. And the spheres is where minyan counting begins. Higher than the attributes, lifnei, the lashon over there is in, here it is, lifnei, okay. Lifnei echad ma'ata sofer. I think it's a lashon in Sefer Yetzirah. In front of echad, higher than echad, what are you counting? There's no number. It can't be, because over there we're speaking a level of divinity that does not be his chalkos in any way. So there's nothing to count. Counting is only once in the spheres. There is already the beginning of eser v'loi, right? Ten attributes. So that's the idea. You're beginning to take from the non-attributic element and counting into the spheres where there is minyan, where there is number. But where are you counting from? You're counting from Keser. And Keser itself is not counting, but you're counting from, you're drawing forth the number, the count, from Keser. And that's the meaning of Vekach. Because the letter Chaf is indicative of Keser. Kaf, first of all, is Gematria. Kaf is, the letter Chaf, is the Rosh HaTevis of Keser. It's the first letter in the word Keser. Chaf is also Gematria, the literal is 20, and it's Gematria Esrim. Sorry, Chaf is, that's not Chaf. Chaf is not Gematria Esrim, but Chaf is 20, and 20 is Esrim. And Esrim is Gematria Keser. So the Chaf is Keser. But Keser, we know, acts as the mediator between the emanator and the emanations. There are emanations, the Netzalim, and there is the Matzil. That's why Keser has two Madregas. The outside parts of Keser is called Erech Anpin. The inside dimension of Keser is called Atik Yomen. Two dimensions of Keser. Atik Yomen is the end of the emanator, and Erech Anpin is the beginning of the emanations. That's why Keser has two levels. That's why Keser has two Chafs in it. Double Chaf. For the word Kach. Kach are the two dimensions of Keser. It's hinted to in the entrance of the Ulam. The entrance of the Ulam was 40 amos in height. Why 40 amos? 2 times 20. Keser. And from the kach, from Keser, Hoyamoine, that's where you count down in order to fix and to draw down Achas, Achas V'Achas, Achas V'Shtayim, Achas V'Sholosh, and cause a tikkun in the whole Seder Rishtalshus, rejuvenating, replenishing, renewing, and bringing and removing all the blemishes. That's Achas. And now, here's the idea. So he says like this. This is all Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we have that Mesiris Nefesh. Yom Kippur, every Jew is ready to be Mesiris Nefesh, and we're crying out Shema Yisrael. It's a day of Mesiris Nefesh. There's no eating. There's no involved in Gashmias. We're in a total state of Mesiris Nefesh. So we're in a state of a Serusa de Latata. From below, we've reached this state of being able to have the Achas and to draw down from that place. But in the month of Elul, we're not there yet. In the month of Elul, We're just beginning to like turn around and look around what's going on with ourselves. We haven't yet found our pnimiyas. We haven't yet gotten into our own essence of our neshama yet. We're working on lacham alibi. We're looking for the pnimiyas, but we haven't yet necessarily gotten there yet. So when it comes to the month of Elul, however, is also already an illumination from Kesef, because we know Elul is a time of the 13 attributes of mercy that are shining. So in the month of Elul, it's Achas Sha'alti. We borrow the Achas. Sha'alti doesn't only mean asking, it's borrowed. Every year we get credit. Rosh Chodesh Elul, the Achas, the level of Achas, Sha'alti, I borrow it during the month of Elul, which means there is already illumination, which Hashem gives us, Arusa D'Le'ele, gives us from above. Not because, in other words, generally we say that in order to be Mamshech from Kesa, you need to have the Avodah Mesiris Nefesh. It's not there yet. So there is an Achas Sha'alti, there is a borrowing of that light that we borrow. And when you borrow something, you have to give it back. When do we give it back? We give it back by Achas V'Achas. Because Hashem loans us the 13 attributes of mercy at the Rosh Chodesh Elul, and the giving back and the payment, He loans it to us until Yom Kippur. He says, by Yom Kippur, you should be at the place where you can be over here on your own without me putting you here. Without me giving it to you, this is the returning of that loan. And that's the idea of Achas Sha'alti Me'eis Hashem Oisa Vakesh. So when we receive that divinity and that godliness, as we said earlier, Shifti Beveis Hashem, that brings peace in our life and harmony, and it connects us to Olam Haba, to the future world, to a place where there isn't going to be any war anymore. It neutralizes the Yetzirah, illuminates our godly soul. May we merit for a full, wait, I have to say this. As a result, this inyan of the connection of the Aleph over the Zion, wait, this is unbelievable, we're finishing with this. This inyan of the connection of the oneness that is in Keser, as it is revealed through Bina into the seven emotions, and down here, through the void of the Kayin Gadol, is the concept of Uz. The word Uz is Aleph Reichev Al Zion. The Aleph is the light of Atik Yomen, it's the light of Keser. Zion are the seven attributes, the 7 days of creation. Aleph Zion is where the Aleph is fully manifest on the Zion. So as a result of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, we say, Uz Yashir Moshe, it's going to be when Mashiach comes, the full connection, the Heshev Lev Avos Albanim, the Aleph and the Zion totally unified, Uz Yashir Moshe, but also, Uz Tismach Besula B'machil. That's when the Besula, Knesset Yisrael, dances. Machil means two things. Machal means with mechila. That's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we get mechila. So Oz Tismach, the girl, Knesset Yisrael, is Tismach from the Aleph merging with the Zion. It's Tismach b'machal. Also on Yom Kippur, the girls would go out and dancing. Knesset Yisrael would go on the dance. It says Benoist Yerushalayim would go out for Shaduchim. They would go out when? They would go out on Yom Kippur and on the 15th of Av. Because the inyan of machal is from the Aleph Zion from Yom Kippur. And also the Uz Tismach is Sukkos, because we go straight from Yom Kippur. Where do we go? Into Zman Simchaseinu, and for 7 days of Sukkos, we're sitting with the Aleph sitting above us. That's the Aleph being Nimshach in the Zion, and it reaches its full revelation with Uz Tismach Besula B'machel in the dance of Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, which is the complete union of the Makabo with this infinite light that was drawn down through the Achas V'Achas, through our Avodah of Tshuva, through our Mesiris Nefesh. But all this is given to us in the head start already in the month of El, as a loan. And then we have to work it during this time to be able to get to that place on our own that we can really rejoice with something of our own Avodah that we have accomplished. May we merit the Achas true revelation of Achas, and that brings us back to Yom Kippur being called Achas B'Shana, because it's the day of the Achas. May we merit the coming of Mashiach now.